All right, welcome into the Lake Show on this Friday evening, News Talk 830 WCCO. Hope that everybody out there has had a pretty good week. Me and Christopher Tubbs take you until 9 p.m. this evening, and I appreciate you for listening to the show. As we sit here in the WCCO radio studios in downtown Minneapolis, I'm extremely grateful, thankful that I have a roof over my head, that I am able to, after leaving the show tonight, being able to go home and pop on the television and watch the remaining parts of the college football playoff semifinal game. And that's between Ohio State and Texas. But there are a lot of people in the state of California, in the LA area, that are not afforded that that opportunity because of the devastation and the fires that have occurred there. With, what, 10,000 structures gone, I think 11 people dead, a lot of devastation. I think about right now, in this exact moment, not only how grateful I am to be blessed in the situation. It doesn't mean that I'm immune from anything happening in the future because things happen. But we really have it good from a weather perspective here in Minnesota. I think that we all could agree on that. Maybe some of you would not agree with that. I know that oftentimes we get stuck in this space where we complain about how cold it is. And I get it. Nobody loves or enjoys below zero weather or anything like that, whatever, or in the teens or even in the single digits. But I don't view our weather and just typically how things kind of operate here in our state as a negative. And this is not like a new thing. I've been like wired that way for a long, long time. Now, did I maybe 20 years ago maybe complain about how cold it was from time to time? Yeah, I get it. And we all kind of, you know, have done that. But since I moved back here from Kansas City, what was that, 2018? I haven't complained about it being cold. If cold weather and the temperature being cold, if that's the worst thing I have to complain about, then I'm fine with that. It snows, it rains, we get all the seasons, right? But we really have it good in Minnesota. You know, we don't have the Hurricane Katrina stuff that we have to deal with there in the southern regions. We don't have to deal with the severe ice storms, even like that you saw with Kansas City just last weekend. And we don't have to deal with what LA's dealing with. So I think that when you put it all in a nutshell and you just kind of summarize and think about what Minnesota has in terms of weather and even the negative things that happen to us from time to time, it pales in comparison to the coast. And I think that – I don't think I'm the only one that thinks like that. I love your reaction, 651-461-9226. Maybe there is something that is stuck in your craw that you're like, man, I hate it here. You know, maybe there's something I'm overlooking. But, you know, Chris, you've lived in other places. Heck, I mean, you lived in Houston. Houston's been impacted numerous times with some significant weather situations.
Yes.
I just – if getting so many inches of snow is the worst thing that's going to happen, and I know that we've had a couple of tornadoes here and there or whatever and stuff like that, whatever, but we live a relatively good life.
We do. We absolutely do. We don't have to deal with earthquakes. You know, we don't have to deal with you see these things that Florida deals with in California and Texas. And yeah, we do have the tornadoes. I mean, we do have deadly, devastating things.
Not that, like Tornado
that,
Alley.
That do have. Yeah, it's not Tornado Alley. It's not Oklahoma. It's not Kansas. It's, you know, not, you know, Arkansas, not anything like that. But I think we are very lucky in terms, like you said, we've got all four seasons. Not every place has all four seasons. Now, you know, the joke is we might get them all in one day, but we get all four seasons. I think it's just a matter of perspective. I think that's really what it is. I mean, you know, for those that haven't lived other places, they can say, well, yeah, maybe, but that also, we do have our fair share of things, and I can understand people who would, you know, who would have that point of view.
This is different, though. I believe it's different in terms of, like, here in Minnesota, we don't get the extremes. And when you talk about your life and your livelihood and just how we live on a day-to-day basis, how it's impacted by the climate and stuff like that, it's a little bit different. So I give you, like, in the last couple of years, I think the one thing that impacted me from, let's go to the summertime. Like, what if we all kind of had to deal with the last couple of summers? We had to deal with remember the Canadian wind was pushing remember we had the air quality.
Oh, the air quality alerts,
right?
Yes.
And remember there was like some fires or whatever, and it was pushing that stuff this way. Like, I dealt with that. I think that there was one moment where I had like a couple of days where I did not feel well. I could barely talk. I think that one, I don't know if I had to take off one day or if I just kind of had to fight through it. But I'm not saying that here in Minnesota we don't have stuff. That's not the point that I'm making. But it's all relative. Like you start looking at the things that people have to honestly deal with from one day to the next and the extremes in terms of weather. Man, I feel like with us, it's small fries. I could be overlooking
it. It is because it's not as extreme. Let me say that. It's not as extreme as you get other places.
Yeah. Let's go to Julie in Minneapolis. She wants to weigh in. How you doing, Julie?
Hi. You're talking about a topic that interests me. You know, I had a friend, she recently moved to Ohio, but she lived in Pittsburgh all her life. Mm-hmm. And I'd say the years 2015 to 2020, 2021, they had more snow than we did. I mean, it was terrible. She had to walk to work, so I'm cognizant of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the standing joke is we like our cold weather. It keeps out the riffraff.
Yeah, I've heard that joke a time or two.
Yeah, that's a time or two. And, you know, I've been watching these horrific fires, and while I feel empathy for the people that live in the Palisades, I hope that for people that want to volunteer, who want to give money, the average home in the Palisades area is $5 million, and there's many homes that are $15, $20 million. And I know those people are suffering. I saw Jennifer Garner. She was talking to someone that was, you know, they were making food and so forth. But if you've got limited resources yourself, I believe there's several fires, and some of them are in the area of people that are kind of struggling, you know, working class.
Yep.
What I would call normal average.
No, I've seen some of the videos and some of the photographs. I've had literally photographs sent to me from my sister who had saw some of the, because she lives in LA, saw some of the scenes and some of the fires and some of the smoke not that far off. And so, and she hasn't been. Let me knock on wood, hasn't been negatively impacted by the fires at this specific point in time. But, there are people that are dealing with it, and they're not the Jennifer Garners, right? They're not the Hollywood elitists that have a lot of money that will be well off, or the J.J. Reddicks.
I feel kind of helpless. You know, I've got some nice winter coats. It's not the type that Jennifer Garner would want or her neighbors who are suffering. But, you know, I feel bad because they want coats in some of these areas, and there's just mounds of clothes, you know, sweatshirts and slacks, and it get cold at night, you know, and so they're asking people, if you've got a coat, bring it. And so, you know, I feel kind of stuck and kind of helpless, because heaven knows we got coats here in Minnesota. But I just wanted to jump in about that, and I've noticed, it's not my imagination, the winters are not as hellish as they used to be, and you grew up in this town, so you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely. And thanks for the phone call from Julie. Julie in Minneapolis, have an awesome weekend. The winters haven't been that bad.
I was thinking about that today.
Well, what was the last time that you, from a winter perspective, you were like, holy heck. Like, what was the last moment for you?
Oh, geez. It's been at least a couple of years.
It's been a couple of years for me, too. And I'll tell you, the moment was when and it was the first time I ever heard the polar vortex. Mm-hmm. My vehicle, I couldn't do anything. Nothing. I got zero, zilch, nothing. I mean, people Literally. I had to take an Uber to work. I had to take an Uber to get down here because I felt like I was trapped. I was stuck. I couldn't do anything. And we got to snow and all that. That was the last time I was like, that was the last time, honestly, in my mind, I was like, man, I don't want to complain about the weather, but why do I live here?
Yeah,
because we have that. That's kind of a running joke. Why do I live here?
Yeah, and I mean, if we didn't complain about the weather or the Vikings, we wouldn't have anything to talk about. I mean, honestly, it's kind of what we do. And you know, Julie kind of brought up something that I was talking to my wife about earlier, and we were kind of talking about the insurance fiasco and kind of a lot of people are going to be, you know, SOL,
yep,
as they say,
yep,
because of just how a lot of insurance out there is working. And there are people that it's like, well, if you're going to leave, where are you going to go? How are you going to get there? What kind of money are you going to, like, they don't have these backups. Like, they are just stuck. And that's kind of where I feel bad. So when Julie was talking about, you know, helping and, you know, having people donate coats and everything, it just kind of got it kind of jogged my memory to earlier today having that conversation that some of these people have lost everything and there's no recourse for them. And it's just very, very sad.
Yep. All right. 651-461-9226. Coming up next, I do want to segue to sports for a second because there was something that I used to always be invested in. And it's actually occurring right now. But I'm not as invested as I used to be, and I feel a little bit bad about it. We'll get to that next year on the Lake Show. As a basketball fan, as somebody at an early age, and when I mean early age, I'm talking about maybe like middle school, early parts of high school, me and my buddies would sneak into the barn because we were that invested in just sports, loving sports, being a sports geek, loving to play basketball and all that good stuff. I feel bad because, man, I really do. Even though, you know, the Kansas Jayhawks, that's my favorite basketball program. Look, maroon and gold, I love the Gophers too. There's no question, no doubt about that. But I used to be so invested in Gophers, Wisconsin. And I'm not anymore. And I'm not going to say I'm mad about it. It feels a little bit weird to not be overly invested in Gophers versus the Badgers. And they play tonight in Wisconsin, not the barn. And I just want us to get back to not to us caring, but to us being relevant, because I'm going to always care for Gopher hoops. I just want us to be relevant. Gophers right now lead in this matchup 17-15, okay? A defensive struggle because it's halfway through the first half of the first half.
I mean, that's mucking up Wisconsin basketball right there. I think they average, what, like 20 points a game?
8-7 is the Gophers' record. They're 0-4 in the Big Ten. It's not on any of the ones that you're looking for, I think. That's why I dealt with it the way I dealt with it. Wisconsin is 12-3, 2-2 in the Big Ten. We need to get that. We got to get the monkey off our back, right? And what better place to get the monkey off of our back, and I'm talking about the Gophers' back, than in Madison? It's been years since I've been to Madison and took in a college basketball game. Quite some time, actually. But I love my guy Ben Johnson. Love Ben. Ben's got to do something, and he's got to do it fast. He has to. Because the clock is... He's been on the clock, and at some point, if you're not able to show that improvement that people have been sold on, it's going to go south fast.
When you have people with apathy, I think that's where the problem comes in, when people stop having any sort of emotion. And, you know, Ben's a, you know, he's a friend of yours, and you've been a long
time. He's a Gopher.
Yeah.
You played in the program.
And you've been, you know, you're as invested in college basketball as anybody. And when you say something like that, I feel like that's kind of that's an indictment on the program when you don't mean it to be, because there's no reason to seek out the Gophers. You know, there's no reason to seek out wanting to watch them for a lot of people. And it is disappointing. It is frustrating. I mean, admittedly, you know, I grew up a Gopher fan. I mean, the 97-98 run that never happened was one of the coolest things, like, in the world to me. That run was awesome. It was one of the best times as a sports fan.
And it happened.
Yeah, and it happened. NCAA, I don't give a rat's patootie. That run happened. Bobby Jackson, Miles Tarver, Sam Jacobson, you know, it was a magical, magical time. But now when you look at it now, yeah, I mean, what will it take for Ben Johnson, hopefully Ben, or, you know, whoever is next, to finally be the one to turn this thing around? Because you'd love, ultimately, Henry, for this to happen, like you said, with a guy who played for the Gophers, a guy who, you know, encapsulate what the program's all about.
Yeah, and I'm not, and this isn't even about, like, taking a shot at Ben or anything like that, because there's no way I would do that. But it's just the realization that it's taken a lot of work. And I want to be re-emotionally invested in the program, and I don't feel like I'm there. And that's the part that bugs me. And that's, you know, you could say, well, people get out there listening and say, well, like, you got to be the one to fix that. Yeah, I mean, that's true. But I think that they need that. I think he needs that signature win that will get everybody thinking, okay, we have a chance to
get
back.
Yeah, you need something to serve as a spark or catalyst to get the fan base.
And we haven't had that.
Re-energized. Yeah, and that's, you know, when you were talking to Nadine a couple of nights ago, when you were asking her, what would you feel is a success? And she's like, well, you know, we need
that. She said 5 or 6 wins, she said.
Yeah, I think she said 4 to 5.
Like 4 to 5. She might have said 4 to 5, yeah.
Four to five. And
that's a far cry from what we're used to.
I mean, you just, you know, ultimately it's kind of like the NFL when you want to be in the hunt. You want to be on Selection Sunday. You at least want to put yourself in a position to be on the bubble. And, I mean, they're not even close to that. And it seems like they're just kind of in this recurring pattern of not being able to get out of this rut, not being able to get any sort of momentum. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the longer it goes, the harder it's going to be to bring people back.
Yeah, it's...
And by no means, yeah, I don't think anybody would feel like you're taking a shot at him. You're just being realistic.
Well, I think the reality is that I think it's going to be tough in terms of survival mode for him if they only get 5 or 6 wins this year in the Big Ten. Like, that's just being real.
But isn't that where the athletic department needs to come in and say, we can't have these unrealistic expectations? Like, we can't expect to win double-digit games in the Big Ten right now and you know, potentially play ourselves into the middle of this conference, especially when you've got all of these new programs that are coming in. Is there a disconnect between the athletic director and the program?
I don't think that if you're the program director
or the athletic director, I guess, yeah.
The athletic director, that you're saying to yourself that it's unrealistic, not based on the type of talent that we have here in Minnesota. We got people here in Minnesota that are going on to other places and they're going to national championships. So I think that's the reality of it. All right, 651-461-9226. Another big weekend with regards to sports wagering. We're going to talk to sports betting expert Eitan Shander from oddshopper.com. He joins us next year on The Lake Show. All right, the NFL playoffs this weekend. We always like to place a wager or two. Eitan Shander, sports betting expert at oddshopper.com. He joins us here on the John Schuster Coal Banker Hotline. Eitan, how you been, man?
I'm great, Aaron. Always a pleasure, my friend. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, thanks for coming back on the show. Hey, before we get to the National Football League, because everybody's got some thoughts and opinions on that, and we want to hear yours in terms of some of the props to look at, to avoid, some of the best bets, and specifically with the Minnesota Vikings and the Rams, I do want to ask you a question about tonight's college football playoff semifinal between Ohio State and Texas. I think it's going to be a good game. I know that Ohio State is favored by 6, although I think that Texas would be my play there if I'm taking the points. But how did you view that matchup? And the reason why I asked this is because I personally, just before I came back to and I've kind of tracked some of the Kansas area teams just from my time in Kansas City. So I'm used to watching, you know, Kansas and K-State and Mizzou and all that, whatever. And even when I moved back, I kind of followed those teams as well. Will Howard, to me, I think he's going to make some mistakes tonight. And it's just a hunch because I've watched enough of Will Howard play. And he made a mistake, a key mistake. And I was thinking that going into the Oregon game and then Ohio State's making the drive to go down there to try to put themselves in a position, and he made a mistake. How did you dissect and look at this college football game tonight?
I think it's a variable that you definitely have to factor in. And I think we've seen this to a lesser extent in the sense of clearly they're not as good this year in Georgia with Carson Beck. And I think that there has been liability at the quarterback position. What we look at, though, especially from a handicap standpoint, is where is everybody else on the field? Like, where is the defense? How, you know, the matchup that you're facing? All of that, I think, factors into it. Because otherwise, if you're just looking at the quarterback, then it's going to be, oh, okay, like you said, you know, maybe you side on Texas. I think Ohio State is so strong that they're able to overcome. And I truly think that in a game where you're getting less than a touchdown, Ohio State is the juggernaut this year. And look, you can make arguments for Texas. I get it. And you can talk about Will Howard as far as being a liability and making some throws. Nothing's going to be as bad as what we saw last night with Drew Aller. I can promise you that, especially that interception. My goodness. But I think it's a fair question. It's something that should be factored in capping. But I think for me personally, it's not going to deter me from from really laying the 6 points.
Yeah, realistically, you're looking at it and you're saying, you know what, even though Will Howard has got some warts, his supporting cast is so damn good that we think that they're going to be able to get it done. So I feel you on that. All right, let's turn our attention to the National Football League, and people can find you guys' great analysis at oddshopper.com. What to look for when betting the Super Wild Card Weekend in the National Football League. Let's start with your best bets.
So I think across the board, I try to look at where these two teams are that are facing off each other and if there's any angle that can be applied here. And I think the biggest thing that is going to impact games is clearly what we're dealing with out west with the Flyers and, you know, anybody who's catching you right now who may be in that or knows people, you know, clearly thoughts and focus, rightfully so, is on the people being impacted that. But guess what? That's family member. That's extended. That's friends. That's people who, NFL players, as you know, are human beings. And human beings know other human beings. And they know people who go through it. It could be their house as far as where they are. So I think it's a very important thing to raise. And you kind of look at that, and I know like the Rams game, right? And even this Chargers game as far as, okay, well, they being on the road. But I think ultimately that we'll get to Monday night as far as, you know, anything that could get moved and anything along those lines. I don't think it impacts me enough for the Chargers. And the reason is because there's something else in this game that is really hard to ignore, and that's inside information, right? So check this out. This system is 5-1-1 against the spread this year. And what we're doing is we're looking at mutual opponents between Baltimore and the Chargers. Do you remember what happened on Christmas Day? The Houston Texans may not, because they got the you-know-what beat out of them, what, 31-2. But I don't care if, right, like, people out there, ask yourself this question. How often do you talk to your brother, your sister? How often do you talk to a sibling? I can tell you this, the Harbaughs talk. So you look at games that each one of these two teams play, and you say, all right, well, did their brother already play this team? Because 5-1-1 with one push, and it's about to be 6-1-1 ATS once the Chargers win this game. And I laid the 2 points for this. This is my favorite bet of the entire weekend is the LA Chargers over the Texans. They're on the road. They haven't had anything moved. They knew they were on the road already. But ultimately, this is an inside information game where John Harbaugh can talk to his brother, Jim Harbaugh, and say, hey, you know, I know we beat the you-know-what, but this is how we got there. And this is what we found out. Right down to, man, that left guard is going to grunt every single time he pulls. Like, things like that. You write into the NFL, and you try to find some edge. So this is a system that we've been monitoring. And look, it worked with, like, Robert Saleh and Matt LaFleur. Those guys were at each other's weddings. Right? So you started to look at that before Saleh got fired a year ago, and you would look at mutual opponents. It's things like this that aren't necessarily reflected in the point spread, Henry,
yep.
And that's where I look right away to start. So that would be my number one bet right there. I think Pittsburgh is going to be it's going to be a lot closer than people think. A lot of people look at this game, and they say, Pittsburgh, they come in, they're struggling, George Pickens, you know, where is he, all this stuff. But the reality on the other side of it is, this is now the third time that they're facing a team and as strong and as powerful as Baltimore's offense is, and we know what Lamar and Derrick Henry can do. It's just the nature of playing a team for the third time, and 10.5 points, it's too much.
Yep.
And I would definitely be inclined to take those points.
Oh, I'm definitely taking the points. There's no way in my heart that I believe that the Baltimore Ravens dominate the Pittsburgh Steelers in this way, especially with these two organizations knowing the other opponent so closely. I'm not going to go there and think that the Steelers, I'm definitely banking a bigger bet on Mike Tomlin and the crew. We're talking to Eitan Shander, sports betting expert, oddshopper.com, joining us here on The Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO. Any props to bet or props to avoid?
So one guy that I'm interested in tailing, and I think it's DraftKings, right, has this thing where it's like king of the court or king of the end zone, and you bet on one guy to score, and if he has the day, then there's this massive pot that gets split. I was looking around on that, and George Pickens, anytime touchdown, is north of 2-1, meaning it's north of a plus 200 return. And that just, it's a little too high in the sense of, like, it's a little too good of a price to pass up. This is what they call a buy low spot, Henry, right? Where looking at a guy who was struggling, and it was on a big stage, and social media was clowning him, and all this stuff now, but he's still a pretty damn good receiver.
Yeah.
And like you and I believe that Pittsburgh is going to hang in this game. They're not going to do it without George Pickens. So I think George Pickens anytime touchdown is definitely a place that I would start on Saturday, right? Like there's some other spots on Sunday. We can talk through that from a player prop standpoint, but that's one that I like. And then another, and this is for everybody out there who loves their parlays, right? You can take my Chargers money line. That's fine. But set that aside, a two leg parlay would be, you could look at like Lamar Jackson over 1.5 passing touchdowns, and then Nnamdi Madubuike, right, as far as a defensive lineman on Baltimore. There's going to be so much focus on a couple of guys in front of him. He's an interior defensive lineman. He's going to have some one-on-one matchups. His sack number is like plus, I don't know, 150 or so. You're going to get really good returns on that, probably like plus 280, maybe plus 300 on Lamar over 1.5, and then Nnamdi to get that sack.
That's interesting. That's super interesting. Wow. Okay, I like that. I really do like that. I'm marking this stuff down. one of the things, you know, we'll be looking at Monday night, clearly everybody here in Minnesota is invested in the Minnesota Vikings. It's been a great season. We hope it doesn't end abruptly on Monday going into Los Angeles, which now means they're going into Arizona, actually, because of everything that's occurred out in L.A. What's your approach to the Rams and the Vikings now that it's moved to Arizona? It sounds like earlier today I saw somebody had tweeted out a reporter from the L.A. Times that said that 25,000 tickets were sold for the Rams fan base.
Yeah, so I think before and look, the NFL, I want to preface this, Henry. The NFL is so tight. The gap between talent is so narrow. You've got 5, maybe 10 guys that truly move the needle in the NFL, right? And most of them are quarterbacks just because of how much they have the ball in their hands. Yeah, you'll get a Saquon Barkley here or there, right? Maybe it's A.J. Brown, depending on the team. But usually wideouts don't necessarily do that. And then every now and again, there's an anomaly like a T.J. Watt, right, or somebody on that side. But most of the time, and this is where, like, people just get flabbergasted when they bet and because there's three backup offensive linemen playing. The reality is that the average Joe in the NFL spans a pretty wide, like, wingspan itself. And that means that guys can step in and play. So I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, all right, before the fires, before this became a massive issue and was uncontained, and now this is like a national emergency, I'm looking at the Rams as a live dog. And I would actually look at betting the Rams outright to win that football game. It's no knock on Minnesota. It's nothing that Minnesota or Kevin O'Connell has done before. Nothing along those lines. It's Sam Darnold and his playoff history or lack thereof. It's Kevin O'Connell. Playoff history, or in this case, lack thereof. It's just, Henry, the nature of being in the postseason for the first time versus one hell of a season coach and a quarterback in Matthew Stafford who's been around. So you start to look at that edge. Now, it's gone. It's completely evaporated. These are human beings. They've been uprooted. Their houses, their families, their friends, their pets. This is something you cannot ignore. And yeah, they're still great, well-coached. They still have talent. And that same group of guys, Henry, that I told you not, what, 40 seconds ago could upset your Minnesota Vikings, it's still the same human beings and men on the field. But this is a far different situation. We saw this with hurricanes. We saw this with any time a team has been displaced. And that's the reality of it. I hate to say it because it's going to sound callous and mean and heartless, but it's not. From a football betting standpoint, Minnesota caught a massive break. I don't know if there was a liver dog to win the first round than the LA Rams. And right now, outside of the Chargers, I don't think I'm more confident in a team moving on than the Minnesota Vikings.
Wow. Well, we'll take it, man. I love it. I got to be honest with you, though. Matthew Stafford scares the hell out of me. He really does.
He's good. Yes. But I'm telling you, man, like, maybe people make a big deal out of this. Maybe they don't. But this is unnecessary travel. This is this is a disruption. You will not find an athlete on the planet that is more in tune with their routine than an NFL player. You just won't. They play once a week, right? Like, it's not even golf where you play 4 days a week. Yeah. Oh, yeah, you know, you got one shot at that ball. Yeah, you got one shot at the ball, but you can make it up. NFL, you can't make that up. There's no, like, oh, man, you know, Joel Embiid set out for four games, but now maybe he can play the fifth game. There's none of that.
Yeah.
If you're not out there and you don't have it, especially in the playoffs, that's how you get got. And I think there are plenty of opportunities for the Vikings to come out here in this first quarter and really send a message.
Great analysis, as always. Make sure that you go to oddsshopper.com. Sports betting expert Eitan Shander joining us here on the Lake Show. Hey, have an awesome weekend, man, and let's make plenty of money.
You got it, my friend. Anytime. Appreciate you. Appreciate Tubbs. You guys have a great night.
All right. Take care. There's Eitan Shander joining us here on the Lake Show. News Talk 830 WCCO. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Wrap up the final segment of the opening hour here at the Lake Show. I love when Eitan Shander comes on the show. He's all over the Vikings now, it sounds like.
I was not expecting that. Based on what I'd been, you know, reading, and kind of when he started the conversation, I'm like, okay, yeah, you're gonna take the Rams. But then he, and when he's talking about his Chargers, I think everybody loves the Chargers. I don't know of anybody that's been on the Texans, but yeah, he likes the Vikings. So I think that first quarter is going to be huge.
How much do you think that Erin Burnett, she makes a year for CNN? The reason why I ask is because it says she views massive fire destruction from helicopter. I'm not into helicopters.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's an amount of money that you could pay me to get into a helicopter, especially in a situation like this. Like, I mean, I know she's well and highly compensated, but my goodness.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You ever been in a helicopter?
I have, yes.
You have?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we took a...
How many people in the helicopter?
Four of us with the pilot.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the pilot, myself.
Was it scary?
No.
Really?
No, not at all. We did it at the Lake of the Ozarks, and you know, it was one of the things that they're like, hey, have these helicopter tours. We took it all over the Ozark. And one thing that they did before the show even aired, they're like, yeah, this is Jason Bateman's house from the show Ozark. We're like, okay, you know, it's a big, it was a big house. And this was before Ozark was even in production, I think, on Netflix. We're like, wow, now it's pretty cool. But yeah, we were in a helicopter and very, very tight. And you have like the, yeah, you have the helmet, you have the microphone and everything, but it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Hey, real quickly.
But you're not a flyer though.
No, I'm not a flyer like that. I'm just not into it.
You don't like to get high above the.
Hey, real quick. I know it can be confusing at times, but I do want to mention this. Because I get it. It's confusing. But since we work here, we know this. WCCO television and WCCO radio are not one and the same. This is just a public service announcement. Because at times people will complain about WCCO television and they'll text us. And I get it. You know, there can be some confusion. Just to be clear, I just want people to be aware. This is WCCO Radio, which is an Odyssey company. WCCO Television is separate. We do not own them. They do not own us. That is a CBS owned company.
And I, you know, it used to be that way.
It
used to be CBS before.
Letters are still the same. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, call letters are the same because. Yeah, it was CBS, and then I think it was Entercom, and now Odyssey. But yeah, it's a very common mistake.
It is. It is.
Because when I say, well, you know, you see, it's like, well, I'm watching, and I'm like, I don't need to read any further. And it's like, it's a common mistake. Yeah.
Yeah. And I get, and I'm not admonishing people.
No, not at all.
I'm just clearing it up so people are aware of it because, you know, you don't want people to make mistakes or to get, you know, because people could get frustrated. Look, I give a perfect example. And we don't work over there. But you know what? What do you think is likely happens a lot? Not on our end, on their end. That people,
weather?
No. People will call WCCO television.
Oh, yeah.
And they'll be like, hey, I didn't get my giveaway from Vanita Sakhar or from, you know, the Chad Hartman show. And they'll be over there like, this is WCCO television.
Oh, see.
Not radio.
I figured they would complain about, you know. WDFL. That's kind of what I thought they would be complaining about. It's a common mistake to make, but yeah, I was thinking way too deep. I'm sure they get the same thing. I have not heard anything, but I'm guessing Brad probably gets it a lot.
Well, you're not going to get it if they get it.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Like about the TV thing, like over their TV. If they said,
but I haven't heard.
Chris Tubbs said he was gonna.
Yeah, well,
Chris Tubbs said this, and I don't like that guy.
I don't like that guy either. He's a moron. I don't like that guy. Guy's a jerk. You're a jerk.
Oh, my
God. I hate that guy. Guy's a D-bag.
Gotta love it. All right. Hey, coming up next, let's talk, continue the conversation about the National Football League.
Guy's not a D-bag.
But this guy is a regular on the show. We talk to him every single Thursday, but I was not in last night. But in tonight, we'll talk to Matthew Collar, the Purple Insider. Right here on the Lake Show, News Talk 830 WCCO.